Welcome back to your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. Thanks for tuning us in. Today we're talking serious business, end-of-life business. If you've never had someone in your family die, you probably don't know how many details need to be managed before the process is through. From cremations to obituaries to eulogies to estates, there are a lot of moving parts. And in today's dose, Nick and I talk about all of them. I call them labors of love. Check it out. Have you ever written an obituary?
Nope.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard when it's someone you love and someone you know, but also like, you know your parents in a different way, right? I wrote one for my father, but the challenge I had was I was writing it knowing that five other people were going to look at it and judge it and determine whether or not it was fitting enough for their father's obituary, right? Which is a little bit of pressure. But I wrote it. And the changes they made were so minor and they were so loving and like they got that it was tough. And I need to remember that when I'm doing stuff like that related to my brother and sisters, because they are that person. And any fret that I have about how they're going to respond to what I write, it's in my head. It's me being the insecure writer. But then just coming up with the details of his life, I came up with too much detail. At one point, Patty's like, I don't think you need to write about, you know, his early construction work. And I just wanted to show that he was a scrapper who did what it takes to take care of his family. But he did actually, at one point, he worked a jackhammer inside a water tower. Now, a water tower is a steel structure that also has coating of concrete on the inside, and then they put the water into that. And he was in there. They were deconstructing this thing, and the first thing they had to do was get that concrete out of there before they take the structure down. So he's in there, says it's the loudest thing he's ever heard in his life, the jackhammer going off inside a water tower because of the echoes and the reverberations. It actually damaged his hearing enough that he decided he wanted to get out of that business. And that shortly after that, he opened Codge's Barbershop. So, and these are all the things, you know, I'm doing an accounting of all these things while I'm writing his obituary.
Yeah.
And kind of appreciating that he kept a roof over our heads and he scrapped from different thing to take care of us. And when the whole thing was written, I kind of felt like I know you feel sometimes when you write an article or probably when you used to write for Knight, you look at it and you go, yeah, okay, good. That's good. Okay. And when I got to that point, I just let go of it and said, whatever they want to do with it, let them do it. And they will. And they added a couple of little things, corrected a couple of names. Oh my God. My great, great niece. I have nieces, great nieces, and one great, great niece. And I always thought that her name was Adelaide.
Okay.
It's Adeline. Adeline. So I wrote Adelaide.
I'm sorry, you thought it was what?
Adelaide. Like A-D-A-L-E-I. And it's Adaline, Adeline. Cutest little kid, daughter to my great nephew, Brandon, who is no longer with the mother of that child. And this is my family is interesting and twisted in so many different ways. But I like
but you had to list everybody in there.
I did. Yeah. I did. And well, that was the thing, going all the way out to the extension. And it comes down to 6 kids, 15 grandkids, 3 great grandkids, and 1 great great grandkid.
Wow.
So that's us. And that's what I thought was going to be at the celebration experience. My father was funny because I wrote in notes that I had taken about how his arrangements, what he wanted. And he had said he wanted his ashes put with his mother and his father and with his father, who was in a different cemetery. His biological
mother and
father.
Stepfather. Yeah. Yes.
And we never referred to him as stepfather, which is weird to say it now because he was my grandfather and he was my father's father for most of his life. But that's the way it is biologically, right? And I said, he was trying to account for the costs of things. And I said, well, you know, it's going to cost the urn and it's going to cost, I found out it's going to cost like $500 to bury an urn with his parents and $750 to bury it with his father's. And he's like, screw that. Kim's got a shovel. Just go do it. You know? And it's like, well, if we're sprinkling ashes, I would.
No problem. Yeah.
Right. But digging a hole in a cemetery to put an urn down
in
there.
Oh, that's bad luck.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Something bad's going to
happen. I wasn't
even
thinking
in that,
of that
scenario.
Oh, yeah. So I don't. Well, so if we're burying the urns, we're going above the board. That's the way it is. And the thing is this. I'm thinking all this, thinking I'm going to have to convince my brother and sisters to do this. And my brother John's like, No, we're making arrangements to do it properly. That's the way it's going to be. They charge you like $300 more to do that burial on a weekend than they do during the week.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like flying.
Okay, that's unfair is what it is, because the volume's higher, we're going to charge you more.
Because it's more popular. Yeah.
It's more popular.
Yeah. Those are the busiest times. Look, it's a matter of peaks and valleys. No, not peaks and valleys. Loss and prof. No, what's the other one?
Yin and yang.
No, from a pro, from a. I have an MBA.
Okay, show
I should
it.
Know this stuff.
Work it out,
yeah,
though. You got it.
Needs and want. No, it's the other one. Not volume, inventory.
Supply and demand.
That's the one. Jeez, thanks for leaving me hanging for half an hour.
I literally just came up with it myself. I'm thinking, what can he be talking about?
And the demand is higher on the weekends. The supply is the same, so they got to charge more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cold-hearted capitalism. That's economics, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. And it's funny thing is, I came out of college thinking that I was that guy. That I was, you know, I understand how these elasticity of demand, and guess what? You're going to go as high as you can in your price until you hit that point where the elasticity is no longer elastic. And then, you know, so here's the thing. I get all that. I just don't like being manipulated. And that's what I feel like I'm being when you change the price just because it's a different day. Or how about this? When's the last time the price went down on something? You know, in your life, or the size of the product got bigger, but the price didn't. It never happens that way. It's always the opposite.
And, sure.
And so I guess it's my sense of justice. I'm going, come on.
The coffin, or is the urn getting smaller? The urns are getting smaller. The coffin.
They should
the grave sites.
The urns. I mean, how much space does it really take for ashes? Actually, I know that because I saw my mother-in-law's ashes when they were being interred at the church that she loved to go to. And it was quite a bit. It's quite a bit of ash. And you know, there are options, like if you want your ashes, if you want to be cremated by yourself and then have your ashes taken care of, that costs you one. Or you get cremated with a bunch of other people and that costs you a different thing. Yeah.
So the group rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did I know that you were just going to flip it around to the standard business term for that is
do it.
It's a group rate. Yeah. But these aren't people he knows. These aren't people, you know, he's not like they got together beforehand and said, hey, want to get cremated together? Although.
Oh, they're not.
That's
See,
an
I
idea.
Would do that.
That's an idea, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's my cremation buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to be put in cryostasis until everybody else is ready.
That's it. And then you all go together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah.
Hey, it's Nick. Thanks for listening. I think the cremation buddies idea is worth revisiting, so if you want to apply to be my cremation buddy, or Bob's cremation buddy, let us know. I also wanted to point out that I named this episode The Family Reserve, which is a song by Lyle Lovett about being around family and remembering family who's no longer with us. Bob and I saw that song performed live over at the Plaza by Lyle Lovett, so I thought it was appropriate to name it that. If you have a chance, go check it out on Spotify or any Spotify adjacent programs that you listen to. Have a great day.